Welcome to the Ortho Eval Pal podcast, where we can help you build confidence with your orthopedic evaluation and management skills. We hope you enjoy the show. And now, for your host, Paul Marquis.
Hello and welcome to episode 318 of the Ortho Eval Pal podcast. I'm your host, Paul Marquis, and today we're going to be talking about calcific tendinopathy in the rotator cuff. We're going to talk about what calcific tendinopathy is, who's likely to have it, what the clinical presentation looks like, and we'll go over some treatment tips on how to manage it and so much more. But if you don't mind holding for a moment, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor. You've all seen the name Chattanooga in rehab clinics. Chattanooga has been a staple for all your traditional clinical equipment needs, and they are now carrying modalities including high-powered laser, focused shockwave, and radial pressure wave devices. These modalities have the ability to transform your practice from both a clinical and revenue standpoint. Trust me, I have patients traveling over an hour to come have radial pressure wave treatment in our clinic. Click the link in the show notes to request a quote, schedule an in-person demo, or get more information on their new modalities. You can also visit their website at www.lightforcemedical.com. Welcome back, everyone. So we're going to be talking about calcific tendinopathy today, also called calcific tendinitis, sometimes mistaken for subacromial impingement or impingement syndrome, subacromial bursitis. You know, it gets kind of lost in there sometimes when we see patients who have signs of impingement. And there's a lot of debate about, you know, the pathophysiologic mechanism of why this occurs and why people do develop calcific tendinopathy. But basically, it is an excess deposition of calcium salts in or around the tendon of the rotator cuff, typically the supraspinatus. The deposit takes up space, okay? And as I've talked about in the past, anytime you fill that space between the humeral head and the acromion, you can likely cause more impingement and irritation to the surrounding soft tissues, especially that subacromial bursa and rotator cuff tendons, which are neurally innervated and can get easily inflamed and excited. So, you know, the only time that we see something taking up space there that is helpful is when you have some sort of device like the InSpace, the quote-unquote InSpace device implanted to just push that humeral head away from the acromion to give it some room so the rotator cuff doesn't pinch up so much. But that's, you know, that's surgically implanted there in the right place to not cause impingement. So, occupying space can cause pain. And it's also speculated that during that resorptive phase where the macrophage phagocytosis is in there and trying to eat that tissue up, that can be a source of irritation. Apparently, there are some chemicals that are released at the time, and that can cause some irritation, inflammation, and can cause some pain. So this calcium deposit that is sitting there in your rotator cuff tendon, typically the supraspinatus, and usually 1 to 2 centimeters from the greater tubercle, so it's proximal by 1 to 2 centimeters. It's right in that critical zone, and that's where you see it most of the time. 80% of the time is where you see this calcific deposit develop. It can become harder over time. We see this typically more in females than we do males. But there are also a small number of people who can have calcific tendinopathy and not have any pain at all. And I would have to say it's probably found incidentally more in people who don't do a lot of overhead activity or who do not kind of, you know, bring that arm into impingement much. So probably the less active individual. But there's really no significant correlation in regards to the research with being overly active. So we're really not sure why some people develop and some people don't. So what I want to talk now about is how patients present clinically when they have rotator cuff calcific tendinopathy. And typically, they will start off with this generalized shoulder pain, and it doesn't take very long for them to start to develop a very severe, sharp discomfort, it doesn't always have to come with a mechanism of injury. Sometimes it just comes on insidiously, and it's more often found in the anterior and lateral shoulder. And personally, from my experience, it's more lateral, but you can have it in both areas. And this can mimic a rotator cuff tear, impingement, bursitis, biceps tendinitis. It can really cause a lot of discomfort and can mimic all of the above. And One of the things you will notice, though, with somebody who has a rotator cuff calcific tendinopathy is that they'll still have good passive capsular mobility, all right? So not terribly likely that they're going to develop an adhesive capsulitis from this, but certainly something to keep an eye on, because if they're not elevating that arm, they're not flexing or abducting that shoulder very well, or activating the rotator cuff, they could develop a frozen shoulder from inactivity more so than from the tissue that is inflamed. So here's a little tip I'm going to give you from experience. This is the one thing that I have been able to extract from my clinical exam that makes me suspicious that a patient has a rotator cuff calcific tendinopathy, and that is that the patient has more pain with passive abduction than any other motion. And interestingly enough, with most patients with shoulder dysfunction, they can abduct fairly well, actively and passively, but with a calcific tendinopathy, if you passively abduct them and they start to develop a sharp, severe discomfort earlier than you would expect, like even before they get to that impingement point, then you need to be somewhat suspicious that they could have a calcific tendinopathy. It's not common to have that much discomfort with passive abduction. And that is one thing that with almost every shoulder calcific tendinopathy I've seen, they have this pain with passive abduction more so than any other motion, all right? So what do we do with these patients? Well, you treat them like they have subacromial impingement, all right? They still have rotator cuff integrity. The supraspinatus is typically the one most involved, so it will not function quite as well because you've got this calcific deposit in the tendon. So the idea is to not agitate it or aggravate it too much by impinging it, doing a lot of repetitive overhead activity or cross-body motion or getting into that Hawk and Kennedy position will really cause some irritation to it. A lot of repetitive abduction will also cause some irritation. So you want to just avoid those activities that cause the big pinch there and re-inflame the tissue. Obviously, we want to have better humeral head depression, and we've talked about this in previous episodes. So trying to get that rotator cuff to activate and get that supraspinatus and infraspinatus to work so it depresses that humeral head so there is a little less impingement can be helpful. Now, you're going to have to limit the range of motion. There's no doubt about that, but there's nothing wrong with working in limited ranges to help develop better strength, all right? Sometimes this calcific deposit is just too large and painful to proceed, and you've tried some mobility, you've tried some mobilization, you've tried some active strengthening, even if it's isometric, and it's still too painful, or they can't sleep at night, or they're in pain constantly, there are some other options. So you should kind of investigate here. Your first diagnostic image should be an x-ray. Most of the time you will see this deposit. It's dense enough where you'll see it sitting in that subacromial space in that supraspinatus tendon. Next, you can also find this with a diagnostic ultrasound. If that is something that happens to be handy, you can certainly take a peek there and you can identify it with that. And then if you need to, then go to that MRI to get a better look in that shoulder to see if there is anything else like a tear or a labral injury or biceps injury on top of that. So it's really kind of the most comprehensive exam, but you really don't need to spend all that money if you have access to an x-ray or a diagnostic ultrasound. The next thing I want to talk about are subacromial injections. We've heard of people getting this. They're really isn't a lot of great research back there regarding resolution of symptoms while they have a subacromial injection. So it doesn't do a great job at resolving the deposit, but it can help with decreasing the symptoms of subacromial impingement. So I've always been an advocate of subacromial injections, especially with the posterior approach. It seems to do a really nice job at improving that space between the acromion and the humeral head. And giving the patient a little more comfort. Well, if you can increase that comfort level and they can start to activate their rotator cuff better, that is great. But as far as getting rid of that deposit, that calcium deposit, that's harder to do with a subacromial injection. So what the research is really, positive on is an ultrasound-guided percutaneous aspiration. So you can kind of get in there, break that up a little bit, aspirate it, and people seem to have much quicker relief. But again, you know, it's a procedure. You're having to, you know, have a needle put in there, and it's a little more invasive. And so it's something that you kind of keep for later. Now, what other adjunctive treatments can you do for calcific tendinopathy if you don't want to get poked or have surgery? Well, there are, you know, you can do ultrasound. That's been found to be somewhat helpful, but not very powerful for that area. There's high power laser and radial pressure wave therapy. Personally, I use RPW, but I have not, and I'll be totally honest with you, I've not tried it on a rotator cuff calcific tendinopathy, only because we have not seen a calcific tendinopathy in the shoulder since we've received our RPW machine. But I did recently treat somebody with a glute medius calcific tendinopathy, and I'm going to tell you what, I have never gotten a patient better this fast ever. I did it as an adjunct to everything else that I do with my treatment. And I just couldn't believe the response. And he had a very large calcific deposit in his glute med tendon. Now, I haven't done it in the shoulder yet, but the research really shows that radial pressure wave therapy is by far superior to high power laser therapy. Both of them are helpful in decreasing pain, increasing motion, but the RPW just seems to have a longer lasting effect. And so I'm excited about trying that. The reason I like RPW is because it's really non-invasive and very safe, very few contraindications. So I'm definitely waiting, anxious to see my next calcific deposit patient and or calcific tendinopathy patient in the shoulder and give it a twirl. So I did do a short dive into some research for these two modalities. And like I said, it seems like RPW comes, out on top because of the longer lasting effects. And to me, if you just think about this, breaking up that calcific deposit can only be helpful. If you can do that and break it into smaller pieces, soften it up some, you're just going to be able to reabsorb that better and faster. So here's the thing. RPW is very safe. I would definitely go in that direction. I would work on strengthening the rotator cuff without impinging the shoulder, and I would try to maximize scapular stability because we want to have a retracted scapula, because if you're protracted, you impinge more. And so I would really hit them hard with a postural strengthening program, a thoracic kyphosis reduction program, improve thoracic extension. And then if all else fails, then, you have to have that calcific deposit debrided and removed surgically, and then repair any of the rotator cuff damage that might occur during the surgery or because of that deposit being there. So there we have it, calcific tendinopathy of the rotator cuff in a nutshell. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. See you next time.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. For some more awesome content, go to orthoevalpal.com. Can't wait to see you there.